this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Y'allitics. I'm Jason Whiteley. We're not in Dallas, we're not in Houston, Austin, or San Antonio. Who recognizes the skyline behind me? I added into frame here one specific building, and if you've been to Chicago, you recognize the Sears Tower, or it's called the Willis Tower now, back here. You know, at one point back in the 70s or 80s when it was built, it was the tallest building in the world. Now it's the Burj Khalifa, I believe, in Dubai. But I'm here alone because we couldn't bring Wheeler up here. He likes to fly first class. The Y'allitics budget only goes so far, so we couldn't pay for him. Listen, we're up here because of the Democratic National Convention and the renewed energy and enthusiasm that Democrats are seeing. A few months ago, back in January, we covered the Republican side. We exclusively went to Iowa for Republicans, and we covered the Republican caucuses there. Wheeler was on DeSantis. I covered Trump, and I covered Nikki Haley as well. Now we're taking a close look at Democrats, and we're specifically looking at the biggest race in the state. And as we talk about that, I'm going to give you a quick glance around here at Grant Park. Hey, say hi to Daryl Golden. This is the guy that gets us on every week, and it's his birthday.
Whoa.
How old are you, man?
I'm old enough to pay a mortgage and pay bills, take care of my family.
Well, Daryl has to be here. Wheeler doesn't have to be here. I can do this without Wheeler. Happy birthday, dude.
We're
talking about the biggest race in the state. We just stopped and had hot dog here, Chicago-style dog. I don't eat a lot of hot dogs, guys. That's probably the best hot dog I've ever had in my life. It has what they call sport peppers on them, which are jalapenos, I think. Maybe it's a real name for a real sport pepper. Pickles, tomatoes. I don't normally eat all that stuff on there. Don't have time to stop and get a Chicago beer for this episode, but we're talking about the biggest race in the state. It's with Colin Allred and Ted Cruz. We're, 75 days away right now from the election, and a brand new poll is out, and the poll shows this race is tightening up even more. A poll a few weeks back showed it's a 5-point race, I believe. Now, this latest poll from the University of Houston and Texas State University down in Houston shows this is a 2-point race. Cruz is leading this 46-44. Here's what's remarkable about it. The margin of error is 2.65%. This race is within the margin of error. I'm gonna get killed here on the bike path. This lady's looking at me. Yeah, I'm a tourist down here, lady. So that race is within the margin of error. So we're spending this episode talking to each candidate. This is going to be the second thing you see on your ballot when you go vote in November. You'll see the presidential race up there, Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris. And that race, too, in the same poll shows that Harris is now 5 points behind Donald Trump. That is significant because Joe Biden was 10 points back. So Kamala Harris is closing in on Trump. You know, I hear people talk about up here in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention saying that, listen, we're going to be a blue state soon. We're going to be a purple state soon. Blue wave is coming, stuff like that. Come on, guys. We've been listening to that forever. Trey Martinez Fisher is a state rep I interviewed a few hours ago, and he said, listen, we're going to be in place soon. And that, you know, he's probably right. I've heard that for a long time, but Republicans still run Texas, no doubt about it at all. Getting back to this episode here, we have both of the two main candidates on our program here. We have Colin Allred on, and we have Ted Cruz on. We're going to start with the challenger, Colin Allred. He is a Democrat who represents parts of Dallas. He's been in Congress for 6 years, and he is giving up his seat in Dallas, and he is running for U.S. Senate. And, you know, Democrats tell me, listen, he's not the same candidate that Beto O'Rourke was. Instead, they say Colin Allred is much more strategic. Not to say Beto wasn't, but they say Allred is a more strategic guy, not the personality, not the, you know, the great orator that Beto is. Nevertheless, What would 6 years with Colin Allred in the Senate look like representing Texas? We had a lot of questions for him, and here's our interview with him.
Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Polls have been up and down in your race. A month ago, it showed Cruz with a substantial lead. The most recent poll from the University of Houston had you guys virtually tied. What are internal polls showing you right now?
Well, I think it's always been a close race, and I think it's going to finish as a close race. What I want Texans to know is who I am, that I was born and raised here in Dallas by a single mom, went to public schools here. That was a big deal for us when I got a scholarship to Baylor, that I've played in the NFL, and that I've served in Congress in a way that shows you can bring folks together. And I think that's the exact opposite of how Ted Cruz has served us. And that, to me, as folks get to know that story, I think is one that we'll continue to see the polls tighten.
Well, let's talk about the big news in this race. Since you and I last spoke, Vice President Harris got in the race, President Biden got out of the race. She's generated massive momentum. How does that affect you and your campaign? Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to say that I do think that what President Biden did was historic in terms of, you know, putting your country first. I think it was the right thing to do. And, you know, this was a close race before he got out of the race, and it's still a close race now. But I certainly have seen a lot of folks who felt inspired to get involved. And to me, that's really important in this race, but in any democracy, that folks are interested. You know, we need to have people being engaged in this discussion, because this is a really important election. We're picking a senator who's going to serve us for the next 6 years, longer than the term of the next president. And I think that we have to have a real conversation as a state about what direction we want to go in. I want to go in a fundamentally different direction than the one I think Ted Cruz has taken us in.
Does she impact your campaign at all? Does she bring energy? Does she bring enthusiasm from voters to
well,
show
certainly
up and
think
help
we've
yours?
Seen, I think we've seen a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and I think that's great. But we also had that in many cases before. And so I think this is a continuation of that. I think a lot of Texans are fired up about moving on from Ted Cruz. They know we can't afford six more years of him. So I think, you know, enthusiasm is important, but now we also have to turn it into action and getting folks out to vote, which has been one of our biggest struggles here in Texas.
Let me ask the flip side of that. You were outperforming President Biden in the polls consistently. Does Vice President Harris drag on your campaign at all here?
I think this is a choice for Texans about who's going to be our next senator, and I think it always has been. That's why I think you saw the big discrepancy when President Biden was at the top of the ticket, and I think you'll see that also with Senator Harris, because this is a really important choice for us, as I said. This Senate term is going to last until 2030. Ted Cruz has had 12 years of showing us how he would leave, which to me is a way that pits us against each other, that doesn't actually get anything done. That spends a lot of time on himself, but not much time on Texans. I've been the most bipartisan Texan in Congress, as you know, Jason. It's really important to me. I will lead us in a fundamentally different direction, one that tries to bring us together around our shared values.
Last weekend, you were in Houston, and you launched the something called Texas Offense, or Get Out the Vote effort. Yeah. We saw 6 years ago Beto O'Rourke have a similar effort, just as large. How is yours different from his, though?
This is fundamentally different. And, you know, as you know, I was a linebacker. I played defense my whole career. Well, now we're going on offense. And that means coordinating for the first time in over 20 years, a real statewide coordinated campaign here in Texas. And so we're going to try and make sure that we're sharing data, sharing resources, and really being much more efficient with what we're doing. So it's
fundamentally. And sharing it with whom? With the party? With other candidates? With who?
Yeah, up and down the ballot. And I think that's really important in terms of efficiency. But this is about us, you know, talking to Texans talking to Texans, neighbors talking to neighbors, making sure that we get the vote out, but also that we have these really hard and important conversations about what direction we want to go in. And this is going to help with that. And to me, that's a good thing.
I want to ask you about some news of the day happening here, too. President Biden's proposed these significant changes to the U.S. Supreme Court, term limits for justices, ethics disclosures, just like other federal judges have. Is that something you support?
Yeah, I have always supported the ethics changes, and I think that's really important.
How about term limits?
Yeah, you know, I think I want to look at it more and understand the way that would operate. I do think that the original intention of the Supreme Court probably wasn't for folks to serve on there for 40 years, right? That wasn't the expectation. And so I think we've gotten away from probably the original intention there. And I think we're seeing that, you know, we do need to constantly have discussions about how we can improve our democracy. And if that will help, then it's something I'll support. But I want to look at it and consider it more. But I do think that when it comes to particularly ethics, that this is something that should have happened a long time ago. And that the Supreme Court has, in a lot of ways, brought this on themselves with some of their activities and really questioning the legitimacy of some of what they're doing.
I don't think anyone would disagree about that. Let's talk about some issues here for a moment. You talked about abortion a lot, reproductive rights, woman's right to choose, and that's resonated with a lot of Democratic voters. Immigration's another issue you have a strong ad out on, too. Let's talk about inflation, though. Democrats have continually had trouble with inflation over the past few years. Energy costs have come down, food prices have not. What do you tell Texans who are still concerned that, listen, my dollar is not going as far, I can't do as much for my family as I was once doing? Yeah.
Listen, this is my life story. You know, I was raised by a single mom who's a public school teacher. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't pay our teachers enough. And so, you know, I know what it's like to go through the grocery line and have to put something away because you can't afford that this week, or to swipe your debit card and say a little prayer. That's been my life story. And so that's why I've always been so focused on lowering Texans' costs where I can. On prescription drugs, for example, where we cap the cost of insulin at $35 a month for folks on Medicare and try to do it for everyone, but Ted Cruz and others opposed us in doing that. We're trying to make sure that we have really important policies in place that help you save money in those early years where you're trying to raise a family. That's something that my wife and I have been going through certainly ourselves. But I'm always trying to find ways to save Texans money where we can, and we are going to continue to see this inflation come down.
I want to ask you about the, let's do this. We're a little more than 90 days away right now from the November election. Do you think that Texans are going to see you and Senator Cruz in a debate face to face?
I certainly hope so, and I'm ready to debate. Obviously, it'll be up to Senator Cruz what he wants to do, but I think it's an important thing for Texans to see, and I look forward to having that.
How many times will you debate him? Have you challenged him? Have you spoken to his team about that?
You know, we're having discussions right now. Yeah.
Getting ready for this interview, I was at soccer practice last night, and a fellow dad mentioned this to me. He's asked what I was doing over there on the laptop as my kid was playing. But he said, Allred is as agreeable as Cruz is disagreeable. He says, I know what Ted Cruz stands for. I'm not really sure what Colin Allred stands for, though. What do you tell those Texans?
Yeah.
Who Cruz has dyed the wool, you know exactly where he is on issues, and people have seen you be bipartisan and work across the aisle, but they're not really sure where you are. What do you tell them?
Well, listen, I want Texans to know that I'm always going to be on their side. And that's the fundamental difference, I think, between us, is that I'm looking for ways to get things done to help Texans in a bipartisan way most often. Over 70% of the bills that I've co-sponsored in Congress have been bipartisan. You and I have talked about the work we've done for veterans here in North Texas, creating a new VA hospital in Garland. That's just one example, though, of trying to find every way I can to be on their side and help them. And to me, that's not an ideological approach. We know that Senator Cruz is one of the most ideological people you'll ever come across. Everything he sees is in terms of whether it's Democrats or Republicans. I've never been that way, probably because of my athletic background and all that. But I'm always trying to look for how I can help the folks that I grew up with, the folks that I know helped me get to where I am. This community, North Texas, our state, this place that has given me a chance to chase my version of the American dream. And so if you want to know where I'll stand, it's going to be on your side on every issue. And that is always my barometer.
You're obviously a Democrat, but would you say you're less party affiliated, more country first? I mean, what would you tell Texans?
I've always tried to be, and that's why I'm proud to have been named the most bipartisan Texan in Congress. I've been given awards for that. And I think it's partly just the way I approach things. I don't see an issue as a Democratic or Republican issue. I try and think about it through the lens of being a Texan. I'm a fourth generation Texan. I think I know who we are. My family's from Brownsville. I went to Baylor. I grew up here in Dallas. You know, I have an understanding of who Texans are. And I try and make sure that I'm both leading us in the direction I know we should be going, but also being responsive to what I know our needs are.
6 years in Congress, what would you say your two greatest legislative victories are?
Well, my greatest, I think, victory is not a legislative one. You know, I think it's creating the VA hospital, which...
In Garland,
which is, something that took over a year, creating 5,000 jobs, $400 million facility, would have cost us $1 billion to make, and it's helping us better serve our veterans. And I'm really proud of that. And I think that's something that shows what it's possible, even working with the Trump administration, to get done.
And you had to work with the Trump administration.
Yeah, it was a long process with them, and working with the city of Garland and trying to make sure that we're kind of putting a square peg in a round hole there, getting the government to accept a hospital.
What else?
I think my other biggest legislative accomplishment is also a veterans bill to build major medical facilities across our state, a new veterans facility in El Paso, but also to build a spinal cord injury center here in Dallas. And I think you might see the theme here. This is also with Jake Elzey, congressman here in North Texas.
Republican congressman.
These are bipartisan efforts. And it's to me, I try and find that area where I know we can agree. But I was one of the main people responsible for us passing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. That wouldn't have passed if it weren't for Texans like me working actually with the Trump administration to get that across the board, to pass the infrastructure bill, which I was on the committee and help shepherd that through, passing the CHIPS and Science Act, which is helping bring high-tech manufacturing back to our state. There's so many things that I can point to that I played a key role in, and there's some things that I haven't gotten done yet that I want to, like making sure we can protect a woman's right to choose and protecting your right to vote.
Before we go, anything else you'd like to tell Texans that, that people aren't watching in this race they should be watching, because the clock is really ticking now?
The clock is ticking, but I hope the Texans will get involved, and I hope that they'll stand up and understand that our democracy is not a spectator sport. You're not watching teams play it out. This is not a football game, right? You're one of the players on the field. So be engaged. Make your voice heard. The most important thing you can do is to be engaged in an election like this. Go vote. Go to ColinAllred.com and get involved.
Congressman, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Colin Allred here on the special episode of Yolitics from the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago. Our next guest is the Republican side of this. It's the incumbent senator, Ted Cruz. He's running for his third term in the U.S. Senate. And we had many questions for him. Didn't get to all of them, but we had a lot of questions for him about what the last 12 years have looked like in the Senate and why he wants six more years to represent Texas.
Senator, thanks for coming to the studio. It's good to see you.
Good to be with you.
What do you want to accomplish in a third term you haven't already accomplished in the last 12 years? Why are you running again?
Look, there's an enormous amount we need to do. Texas right now, Texas is booming. Texas, what we're doing is we're doing it right. Texas is the best place on the planet for jobs. You know, I just came from a big press conference in Midlothian where Google announced they're investing an additional $1 billion in the state of Texas. Massive new construction. We're talking about thousands of new jobs. My number one priority in the Senate is jobs, jobs, jobs. And why is it that companies from all over America come to Texas to open jobs? Because we're the best environment. We have low taxes, reasonable regulations, and we gotta protect, we gotta keep Texas, Texas. And my priorities in the Senate are jobs, freedom, and security, protecting our families, fighting for 30 million Texans. Jason, I jump out of bed every day having the chance to do that.
Senator, I covered you in 2012 when you wanted to go to D.C. and break up the status quo. After 12 years, do you think you are part of the status quo now in D.C.?
Look, I am a leader in Texas and in D.C., and I'm proud of that. But my job is to fight for 30 million Texans. And so whether it means standing up to terrible policies that hurt Texans, and that's been true whether that came from Barack Obama or Chuck Schumer or Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, or whether it has been working to bring together bipartisan coalitions to accomplish big victories for the people of Texas. You know, I'm the ranking member on the Senate Committee of Commerce, Science, and Transportation. Commerce Committee has jurisdiction over about 40% of the U.S. economy. And it is incredibly impactful for the state of Texas next year if Republicans take the majority. I'll be the chairman of the Commerce Committee. That is a huge deal if you care about jobs in the state of Texas. And over 12 years in the Senate, I've built a record of delivering real results. I've authored and passed 100 different pieces of legislation that have been signed into law that are making a difference for thousands and thousands of new jobs in Texas, and that's a fight I'm proud to do.
Let's talk about your opponent. How would you tell Texans, the independents out there, and there are some, they usually lean a little more conservative in this state, but there are independents out there.
Sure.
How would you tell them that you are different from Colin Allred?
Well, listen, I think elections should be about your record and results, and there is a dramatic difference between me and Congressman Allred. Congressman Allred's record has been hard left. His first 4 years in the House, he voted 100% with Nancy Pelosi, literally did not deviate on a single issue.
Listen, but he's constantly ranked as one of the most bipartisan members of Congress.
Well, he gets left-wing groups to say that, but it's an empty boast. His voting record was identical to Nancy Pelosi. I don't think there's a Texan on the planet who thinks Nancy Pelosi is bipartisan. I'll tell you, Colin Allred has been a knee-jerk vote. He's voted repeatedly in favor of open borders. He voted against deporting illegal aliens who violently assault police officers. Listen, that's a nutty position. He's voted repeatedly against jobs and oil and gas in the state of Texas. He voted with Joe Biden in favor of Joe Biden's halting the export of liquid natural gas. He has been a hard left vote, but it's interesting. He combines being a hard left vote with getting nothing done. He's been in the House of Representatives for the last 6 years. He's authored and passed three bills into law. He's essentially done nothing in his time in Congress. In the same time, in 12 years, I've authored and passed 100 different pieces of legislation, almost all with major bipartisan support. And so what he calls bipartisan is he takes a Democrat bill that is passing, that has a few Republicans on it, and he votes with the Democrats. He follows Nancy Pelosi's orders, and he votes with her. And he says, look how bipartisan I am. I'm voting for a Democrat bill that has a few Republicans. That's not actually doing the job. Let me give you an example. Legislation that I authored and passed last year, December of last year, deals with bridges from Texas to Mexico. There are four new bridges that are being built from Texas to Mexico. Two in Laredo, one in Brownsville, one in Eagle Pass. All four of them were being delayed by bureaucratic regulations from the Biden administration. And the local leaders in South Texas came to me and they said, Ted, would you lead the fight to get this done? I said, I'm happy to. And I teamed up with Democrats. I authored legislation to expedite the permitting. We got that passed through the Senate, passed through the House, signed into law. And just a few months ago, those permits were finally granted. That accelerated those four bridges by 3, 4, 5 years, and the impact on the state of Texas just from that one bill is going to be tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars of investment, billions of dollars of impact for Texans. And so that's a real bipartisan result. And you know what? I would be more than happy to compare my record to Colin Allred's, but you know what? You're about the only person in the state of Texas in the media that has actually interviewed Colin Allred. Today is the 51st day he's gone without having a press conference. He doesn't answer questions. He doesn't talk about his record. He doesn't talk about Kamala Harris. He's terrified to talk about Kamala Harris. And so, look, I think this election should be comparing our records and comparing our vision for Texas.
Well, speaking of comparing records, do you expect you two will be face-to-face in a debate before Texans?
Listen, I'm confident we will. I'm eager to do so. You and I were talking just a minute ago. I think that's a responsibility that elected officials and that candidates owe the voters, to have a debate, to answer hard questions. This is something I've done. You know, you and I have had interviews, I don't know, dozens of interviews, I would guess, by now. I think that's a real responsibility. Tomorrow I'm going to do a press conference. This will be, I think, my 7th press conference in 6 weeks. So I think it is a responsibility to stand up and answer hard questions. Colin Allred is actually employing the exact same strategy Kamala Harris is. Both of them have decided to follow the Joe Biden basement strategy, where they hide in the basement. They don't do media interviews. Kamala Harris has been the Democrat nominee or the presumptive nominee for 25 days. She hasn't done a single media interview. She reads from teleprompters and hides from answering questions. That's exactly what Colin Allred is doing. And they do it because they can't defend their record. Open border, massive inflations, out of control crime. That's not a record they want to defend.
Senator, let me ask you a hard question here. Abortion, that's a big issue for a lot of women in this state this November. Yeah. Are there any exceptions that you would support for abortion?
Well, listen, what the Supreme Court said in the Dobbs decision is that abortion is an issue that people of good faith disagree on, and disagree real. There are people that are pro-life, people that are pro-choice, and the Supreme Court said the way we resolve questions like that under the Constitution is the voters at the ballot box. That's democracy. And so questions of what the rules in abortion are will be made by state officials in Austin, the state legislature, the governor. And the situation we have right now, every state makes different rules. You wouldn't expect Texas to have the same rules as California. And I think that respects the diversity in our country. Now, what's interesting is, and so my view is the rules will be made by the state legislature. What's interesting is contrast that with Colin Allred's views. His views on abortion are quite frankly extreme. He has voted for federal legislation to strike down every single limitation on abortion, legalizing abortion literally up until the moment of birth, in the 8th and 9th month. Now, Jason, that's an extreme position. Nationally, about 9% of Americans agree with that. 91% of Americans say, look, that's too much. Even people who are pro-choice, a majority of pro-choice Americans say, listen, abortion in the 9th month, that should not be allowed. And yet Colin Allred has proudly voted to allow that. I think that's an extreme position.
But for clarity, for voters who are going to the ballot box and voting on this race, the largest one, what do you tell them? If they want to know, where does Ted Cruz stand on this? You're not shy about telling people where you stand on an issue.
I'm not at all. Listen,
Would you support any exceptions for rape or for incest, Senator?
So I have supported legislation that has exceptions for rape and incest, but the reality today is these issues are not being decided at the federal level. They're being decided at the state level. And so the candidate who has voted for federal legislation to strike down federal laws, or state laws rather, is Colin Allred. He's voted for legislation that would strike down the law in Texas and legalize abortion up to and including the 9th month in pregnancy. That's not where Texans are. And if you want to know what I believe in, you can look at legislation that I've introduced, and I've introduced, authored and introduced mm-hmm. legislation to protect IVF, to protect in vitro fertilization. Now, one of the reasons I introduced that legislation is that Colin Allred and other Democrats are demagoguing. They're trying to scare people into believing that in vitro fertilization is in jeopardy. And so I introduced legislation to have a clear and unequivocal federal right to IVF. I'm a huge supporter of IVF. Right. I think it's a medical miracle. I did it with Katie Britt, senator from Alabama. The two of us introduced it. We went to the Senate floor to try to pass it, and you know what happened? The Democrats very cynically stood up and objected. You know why? Because they want a campaign scaring people on IVF rather than, if they'd not objected, our legislation would have passed and we would have a clear federal statute protecting IVF. That's what I'm fighting for.
How about a federal abortion ban? You introduced legislation, I think, years ago on that.
That's not true. That is absolutely not true. Colin Allred says it, but it's false.
Do you support it now?
There's not going to be. So listen, in the federal government, the way the Senate operates, there's what's called the filibuster. The filibuster requires 60 votes to pass major legislation. It means for anything to pass the Senate, you've got to have broad bipartisan mm-hmm. agreement. What I have supported is restrictions on late-term abortions, on exactly what Colin Allred supports. 8th and 9th month late-term abortions, abortions after the unborn child can feel pain. And I got to tell you, it really is disturbing to see Colin Allred and the Democrats who vote against the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. You know what the Born Alive Infant Protection
I've heard
Act
of it,
was? What it said is if in the course of an abortion a child is born,
right.
and the baby is alive, and the baby is outside the mother, and the baby is breathing and crying and living, that the doctor can't just let the baby die, that you've got to save the baby's life if the baby is alive and living. And Colin Allred and the rest of the Democrats, tragically in Washington, are against that. I think those are extreme positions. What I can tell you is there's a reason Colin Allred doesn't want to talk about that. There's a reason he wants to falsely say, and Kamala Harris does the same thing, that Republicans want a national abortion ban. Yeah. That's simply false, but they don't want to defend their own record. The only candidate here who has supported legislation to strike down federal laws at the extreme level is Colin Allred. That's his record, and he didn't want to talk about that.
Let's talk about abortion. Let's move on from abortion for a moment here, Senator. I want to ask you about the border. Trump told Elon Musk that he would execute the largest deportation in history if Trump is reelected. How do you think that would affect the Texas economy?
Listen, I can tell you right now the Texas economy is getting hammered by Kamala Harris and Colin Allred's open borders. What we've seen in the last 4 years is unprecedented. Joe Biden and Colin Allred and Kamala Harris made a decision to break our border. And understand, I worked hand in hand with Donald Trump to secure our border, and we had incredible success. At the end of the Trump administration, we had the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. That was incredibly good for the state of Texas. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris came into office and they worked with Colin Allred to break the border. We have right now the worst illegal immigration in the history of our country. 11.5 million people have come in illegally to this country, and it is hurting the people of Texas.
But rates are going down right now. The number of illegal crossings are going down.
You're too smart to be conned by that. It's 11.5 million. What they've done is slightly tweaked it down so the invasion slowed a tiny bit right before the election. But let me tell you something. I spend a lot of time in South Texas. I spend a lot of time in the Rio Grande Valley. There is nobody in South Texas who defends this chaos, because when you see the human suffering, when you see the dead bodies of people who are dying, when you see, I've looked in the eyes of little girls and little boys who've been brutalized by human traffickers. I've looked in the eyes of women who've been sexually assaulted. It is inhumane. It is grotesque. It is wrong. And I got to say, Colin Allred's record on the border is abysmal. He's repeatedly voted for open borders. He's repeatedly voted against securing the border. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what your views are, but if you're a Texan who believes we should build a wall and secure the border, you know what Colin Allred says? He says you're a racist. He repeatedly refers to the border wall as a racist wall. And in fact, he has pledged in his own words that he will personally tear down the quote racist border wall. Those are extreme positions. That doesn't protect the people of Texas. The people of Texas want Texas to be safe and secure. They want to stop this massive illegal immigration that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and that Colin Allred want to have happen.
Let me get back to the exact question on that, though. If a large deportation of undocumented immigrants happens in this state, what will that do to the state economy? We saw a study not too long ago. They contribute almost $5 billion in taxes to the state here. What do you think will happen? Listen,
my view on immigration is simple. I've summed it up many times in four words. Legal good, illegal bad. If you're suggesting that this illegal immigration is great for the economy of Texas, I'm sorry, Jason, you're just wrong. It is a massive cost. Go down to South Texas and ask them about their hospitals being overflowing, their schools being overflowing, their jails being overflowing. I'll tell you what, take a look. Meet with the victims' families. Every single day, Americans are dying. We have Americans who are being murdered by illegal immigrants released by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We have children being brutalized by illegal immigrants released by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We have women being raped. And Colin Allred's position, he won't talk about it. Listen, I've sat down with the family of Jocelyn Nungery.
Sure.
Jocelyn was a beautiful 12-year-old girl in Houston, and she was kidnapped and raped and murdered by two illegal aliens that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris released. And they came from Venezuela. They came illegally. They were in federal custody. All Biden and Harris had to do was follow the law, put them on a plane, and deport them.
Right.
And Jocelyn would still be alive. But instead, because they decided it was politically beneficial for them, they released them. They came to Houston and within a couple of weeks murdered that precious little girl. I've sat with Jocelyn's mom. I've sat with Jocelyn's grandfather. No parent should have to bury a child, but especially to lose your daughter in those circumstances, it is horrific. It is wrong. I've introduced legislation called the Justice for Jocelyn Act, designed to prevent this, and it would mandate the federal government, if you have an illegal alien in custody, you must keep that illegal alien in detention as long as there are detention beds. There were 3,000 open beds the day they released those murderers. When I released that legislation, I was joined in supporting that legislation by Kim Ogg, the elected Democrat district attorney in Houston.
Right.
Kim Ogg has served two terms, elected. She's a Democrat, been a lifelong Democrat. She's prosecuting the murderers who killed Jocelyn. And Kim, she's a Democrat, she's endorsed my reelection. I've got all over the state Democrats supporting my reelection. And Kim Ogg, the Houston DA, what she said is she wants a senator who will stand with law enforcement and stand up to secure the border. And Colin Allred's record has been terrible on that.
Two last questions for you, Senator. Will you accept the results of the November presidential election?
Yeah, of course, if they're fair and legitimate. Look.
Do you think there's something at risk of this election not being fair and legitimate?
There's something at risk in every election. There's a reason we have laws, and we have laws concerning fraud, and we often have litigation after elections challenging the results and looking at was it conducted fairly. I mean, we have an entire legal system. And so, of course, now what's interesting is that reporters almost never ask Democrats that. You know, Hillary Clinton, when Donald Trump won, Hillary Clinton said it was illegitimate, and he was not the legitimate president. Stacey Abrams, remember she ran for governor of Georgia? She claimed Brian Kemp didn't win, he was illegitimate, and she was the governor of Georgia. That was just nutty. Look, I'm a big believer in democracy, but you know what's interesting? Today's Democrats have decided democracy doesn't matter. You look at earlier this year.
Come on, Senator. People seeing that will go back and immediately tell me, Jason, why didn't you ask the senator about January 6th?
Okay, but hold on. Let me finish the point I made. You scoffed. Come on, Democrats don't think democracy doesn't matter. Three states, Colorado, Illinois, and Maine, threw Donald Trump off the ballot. Because why? There's nothing that says defending democracy like saying the voters can't vote for my opponent. Look, that is disgraceful. And that is the position we see of Democrats. Look, you look at these prosecutions of Donald Trump. I think they're an absolute abuse of power. It is reasonable to like or dislike Donald Trump. Reasonable people can disagree. But you know what? In the United States of America, we have never once had a president or former president prosecuted, had the Department of Justice go after them. Under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, that's happened four different times. Banana republics do that. It's not what we do in America. I think it's an abuse of power, and it frankly, I believe it is because they don't trust democracy. I think the reason why the Biden-Harris Justice Department is trying to go after Donald Trump with everything they have, is they're terrified the voters are going to vote for him. And I'm a big believer it ought to be the voters who decide. It ought to be the voters in Texas who decide in Texas, and it ought to be the voters nationally who decide nationally.
Last question. How has Kamala Harris changed your campaign, if at all, in this state? She's clearly energized Democrats. Has that impacted you at all?
Well, listen, I think right now Kamala's on a bit of a sugar high. I know her well. I served in the Senate a lot of years with her. We were on the Judiciary Committee. Her record, she has been the single most left-wing senator in the entire U.S. Senate. You had one tracking organization that rated her to the left of Bernie Sanders and the left of Elizabeth Warren. I served with both Bernie and Elizabeth. That ain't easy. I think right now there's a bit of a sugar high. My hope is, as we get into the election, people will focus on her record, and her record is frankly terrible. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris inherited peace and prosperity. We've now got rampant inflation that is hurting people. We've now got an assault on energy and oil and gas that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have led and that Colin Allred has supported. That's hurt Texas badly. We have chaos at our southern border. We have an assault on law enforcement. Look, Colin Allred repeatedly has supported defunding the police. That's crazy and it's damaging. And that record is terrible. And so I will say this. I think Kamala Harris becoming the nominee has been a really bad development for Colin Allred, because Kamala Harris was the border czar. That was her job for 4 years. They proudly announced she's in charge of the border, and yet she won't go to the border. In 4 years, as the border czar, she didn't go one time to the Rio Grande Valley. Colin Allred is not going down to the border, is not willing to see the human suffering it's caused. And there's a reason when he was on your show and you asked him about Colin Allred, or you asked him about Kamala Harris, and he kind of meekly endorsed her and then turned around and ran away. Look, it shows what the stakes are. If you support Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's open borders, if you support the policies of the last 4 years, those are policies that really hurt the people of Texas, and it's why Allred doesn't want to answer questions, because he can't explain his support for those extreme policies. I'm more than happy to explain my votes, my records, and the legislation that I've authored and passed into law that's making a real difference for jobs and for safety in the state of Texas.
Senator, thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, there you have it, both sides, Republican Ted Cruz versus Democrat Colin Allred. You know, we ran part of the Ted Cruz interview on television recently. We also ran the Colin Allred interview on television, at least parts of it as well. But after the Cruz interview aired on TV, the Allred campaign reached out and said, listen, Jason, the interview you did with Cruz, the senator had a lot of inaccuracies in the things he said to you. We did give the Allred campaign a chance to respond to it. We haven't yet been able to set that up. He's been busy speaking at the Democratic National Convention and doing other things. If he does want to respond to it or add anything else to what the senator said, since Allred went first and didn't have a chance, we're going to give Allred that opportunity. And since Cruz's interview was considerably longer as well. Listen, I'm on a flight back to Dallas here shortly. I have to show Wheeler this scene behind me here. This is the first day. Been here 8 days. This is the first day I've actually kind of gotten warm here. Don't turn off the episode if you're thinking, are you kidding me, Wiley? Come on, man. It's been 140 degrees in Dallas. Yes, it has. And despite long hours up here in Chicago, maybe the best thing has been the weather. Highs in the 70s. It's unbelievable. Not sure what I'm going to encounter when I walked off the airplane through the jetway back at the airport in Texas. Thanks for watching this episode. We hope that some of the content here, some of the interviews from Colin Allred, some of the questions we had for him, some of the questions we had for Ted Cruz might help better inform you as you go vote. We always appreciate you listening to Yolitics. If you know somebody you think that they'd like to hear this, please share it with them. Let them know they can find Yolitics wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, y'all, the conversation doesn't stop here. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Yolitics.